Now, we're joined by Valerie Coyne Dalton. Good afternoon, Valerie.
Good afternoon, thanks, Ray.
Thanks for coming in. So you're looking for a kidney.
Yeah, straight and simple. Yeah, that's it.
That's basically it, isn't
it?
So you're on the waiting list, and we'll talk more about the waiting list and the change in law, which only happened in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, 17th of last.
If that affects you or not. But first, let's get your story. So you're mum of two?
I am, yeah. I have a 4 and a 7-year-old.
Right.
Little boy is 4 and my little girl is 7. Right. And
And you worked in computer game production.
Yeah. So as a producer. Well, technically I still am. So I'm on. Right. They've been extremely kind to me and they've let me go on long-term medical leave. So that's what I'm...
Describe what you do there, because, I'm fascinated by it.
we make games for your phone, essentially, but we've merged recently in the last couple of years with a bigger company called Take-Two. So we have console games as well.
Right.
So the division that I work in is all mobile games. So it's like Words with Friends, Farmville, Zynga Poker, all those kind of games.
And what, as a producer then, you pull everybody together, is that it?
Basically, it's like, essentially. So I'm working with all the teams, like the customer support teams, the...
Designers,
the all the elements of the game design teams all kind of work very separately. And I would get a project handed to me and say that they need this game brought in by the end of this quarter.
Yeah.
And I just meet with all the teams and make sure that everyone knows what they're doing and has their stuff in on time. And
okay, like, it's not something you say as, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a computer games producer.
Yeah, no.
So how did you end up in that job?
Oh, a very roundabout way. I started doing something completely different, and then I ended up temping in an office, and I got very interested in computers there. Did some courses in that, worked in computer support, then worked for Vodafone for a while.
Right.
Then went and worked as a business operations manager and got hired by Zynga, and then just gradually went towards the producer route. Yeah, it was very long, not very exciting, but...
Your health. So was it the beginning of last year?
2024.
Yeah.
So, and actually, when I look back on it now, it was probably sort of the middle of 2023, but I wasn't really fully aware. So I had a lot of symptoms that were mainly fatigue, and a bit of water retention and things like that. But I was dealing with two small kids at the time. They were 2 and 5.
Tired.
Her tiredness was just on the cards.
Yeah.
My mum was ill. She had been diagnosed with cancer, so she was going through her chemo. My husband hadn't been very well either, so there was that. And then there was just life, and I was just working and ignoring myself, basically.
So you just thought, this is what life is throwing at me, and this is how I feel as a result.
Yeah. I also thought, well, maybe there's a bit of perimenopausal stuff going on, with my age. And I was very overweight at the time, and I put everything down to that. So I was like, next week I'll go on a diet. I'll lose a bit of weight next week. It'll be fine. And then in February 2024, I got a cold, which became a really bad cough, which became a really bad pain in my chest. Brought myself into A&E and I had pneumonia. And when I was in there, they went, you know what? Something else is not right here. They did a couple of blood tests on me and they thought, right, okay, these numbers are completely wrong for someone your age. And they sent me for a biopsy. And it turned out I was in stage 5 of 5 kidney failure, which was a huge shock.
And when you say that, that's both kidneys then, is it?
Both kidneys completely failed, yeah. So, I got the diagnosis. The lovely nephrologist in the Mater Hospital came in to me, and she was sat on the side of my bed and kept saying, I'm so sorry. And I was like, listen, it'll be grand. It'll be fine. What are you sorry about? And I sort of didn't take it in. And she was really serious, and she kept saying, I need you to try and understand. This is really serious. And it was only when she left and I Googled it and I was like, okay, this is really serious.
And how does it happen?
So the majority of cases would have some sort of hereditary thing, which I don't have. The majority would also have a history of autoimmune diseases. I don't have that. I have a very distant cousin who had lupus, so they did all sorts of tests for that, just in case it was that. They don't know.
So unlucky.
Unlucky. One of the nurses in the renal clinic said to me, sure, someone has to be first in the family. I was like, oh, thanks. So unfortunately,
sort of a
it's
fair
me.
Fair point, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. But
so
yeah,
they
so
tell
they
you that
know.
you're stage 5 of 5 of renal failure, and then they tell you what the prognosis is, do they?
Yeah, well, they're
no.
quite vague about
are
that
they?
Because so she unfortunately couldn't take me on. So she and she said the best place to go was Beaumont, which is the centre of excellence. So I went out there and I'm under Colin McGee, who is an incredible nephrologist, very bright, dedicated guy, who is extremely, the only word for him is nerdy, like, and I say that with love, you
yes.
know, he's super nerdy.
Admiration.
That's
yeah.
what you want yeah, is yeah. is your doctor to yeah. be a super nerd. So he, his kind of prognosis and path for treatment was to try and stay away from dialysis, because dialysis, while it can really give you a better course of life, it can also be quite degenerative. So for the first year while I was getting transplant ready, which was essentially losing lots of weight, I was also trying to stay off dialysis for as long as possible.
How do you do that?
Medication mainly.
Okay,
so
right,
it was
okay.
like medication yeah. and diet and exercise, but diet being the main thing and medication being secondary. Okay. And it just didn't work.
Okay.
I had to my function went down just way too low, so I wasn't able to lift my head off the pillow. I couldn't walk the kids to school. I couldn't, if I could get up and get dressed and have a shower, that was all I could do
in a day. Yeah.
And it just got so bad.
Okay, so you had to do dialysis.
Yeah, so about roughly about 4 months ago, I started peritoneal dialysis at home. So I get to do it in the evening, at night, through the night. It takes 8 hours.
So you have machinery at home, medical machinery at home.
Yeah, and I have a catheter in
right.
my stomach.
And it's DIY dialysis,
DIY,
is it?
DIY, yeah. So I had a couple of nurses come out and teach you how to do it, which is extremely overwhelming. And I thought for the first while, I was like, I'm never going to be able to do this. But then you do, you just do it. You just get stuck in and it keeps you going. And since then, I've been able to get up, walk the kids to school, get myself dressed and showered and have a semblance of life. You
yeah.
know, I'm able to get out and see my friends every now and then and things like that, you know. But yeah. I wouldn't have been able to do that without.
And is it every night?
So, no, it was every night in the beginning. And it improved my numbers so much that he said I could drop it down to 5 nights a week. So I take Tuesday night off and I take Friday night off, and they're my like little celebratory nights.
Right.
And I'm like,
and is it possible to sleep while all this is happening?
Yeah, it is, but it's not the most comfortable sleep in the world. I tend to have a little nap in the afternoons. Then if I'm,
So you go to sleep hooked up to a machine.
Yeah, you do. And it's a cycling machine. So the machine cycles fluid through, it's 10 litres of fluid that cycles through 2 bags and a drain bag. So it pumps me full of 2 litres, then it sits there for a while, and then it drains that out.
So the machine is doing the job that your kidneys can't do.
Yeah, exactly.
It's clearing out your system.
But it makes a lot of noise.
Yeah.
Kind of, you get used to the noise, but yeah. It's funny, my son comes into the bed now, and he used to come in the beginning and be like, what is that?
Yeah.
And now he falls asleep, he doesn't even notice it. So.
What age are your children, sorry?
4, he's 4, and my daughter is 7.
Ah, so she probably knows.
She knows, yeah.
That mammy's not well.
Yeah, she asks me nearly every day, like, how are your kidneys, mummy? And, you know, she tells everyone, did you know my mummy has a sore kidney?
Right.
You know, and yeah, it's a big deal to her. Not so much to my little boy. He hasn't really figured it out yet.
So the end game is to get a kidney.
Yeah.
That's where we started, and now we're at it here.
Yeah.
So some people go to next of kin and say, can I have a kidney of yours?
Yeah, so my husband was very adamant that it was going to be him that was going to give me the kidneys, purely for jokes. He likes to be able to make the jokes. He wanted to be that person, but unfortunately, it didn't work out. He's
okay.
not well, so
right.
it wouldn't have been feasible. So he is now my dialysis warrior. He does everything else for me. Like, I would be completely lost without him, but unfortunately, I can't have his kidney. And then I'm an only child, so I've no siblings. And my parents are both in their 70s. My mum had her cancer. Now she's come through that. She's okay. But my dad had a heart condition. Oh, I'm telling terrible tales of woe. But, you know, it's that we're all, my parents were all at that stage.
Yes,
yeah. So they're not. So then outside of that, then I have lots of cousins, but they're all at my stage of life. They all have small kids and it's a hard thing
it's
to
a big
say.
Ask,
it's a huge
it?
Ask.
It's a big ask.
Yeah, so.
But you, and you know, hearing your CV, your oral CV there, it's completely understandable that you're very good on PowerPoint. So you put a PowerPoint presentation together. Yeah,
actually, I can't claim credit for that. My husband is a brand designer. So okay. he did that for me. I did the words and he made it look fantastic. Yeah, yeah.
Right, and what did you do with the PowerPoint? It was the pitch.
I sent it out as a pitch basically to everyone. I sent it as a WhatsApp to all of my family and friends. I sent it as... I put it up on all my socials, like Instagram, TikTok, all of those. I sent it to people and said, like, please reshare. So it did get shared quite a bit. And I have actually got a couple of people.
And the message was?
I need a kidney. Yeah. Right. And the message was, like, about me. I'm a mum. My life is deteriorating. I want to be there for them. I need to be, you know, and you would be giving me that life. And that's kind of what the message was. And the benefits to it. To the donor is they've done all these studies in Harvard where people who have donated kidneys have a much more positive outlook on life after the donation, which is, you know, I'm obviously.
There is a caveat in that it's not guaranteed to work.
No, it's not. But we have a great exchange program in this country now. So we exchange with the UK. So if somebody does come forward and to match with me and they're not the same blood type but they still want to donate, they can donate to the exchange program. Uh-huh. And so that then works with the UK, who have a much higher rate of donation. Okay. And then I would get a kidney faster. Okay. Basically.
Right, so we're going to get to the legislation in a moment, but you're on a waiting list, and typically how long does it take on that waiting list to get a kidney?
So the average waiting time is between 3 and 5 years, but
three and five, that's a long time.
It is, but that to me sounds kind of like, I feel sort of like, okay, I can do dialysis for 3 to 5 years, okay? Right. But if it stayed the same, but unfortunately it's a degenerative treatment. So the more I do it, the more my body becomes dependent on it, and the harder it is for it to work. And then you might have to switch to hemodialysis, which is much
harder. And you have to go into hospital harder. For that, do you?
You don't have to. There are ways of doing it at home, but it's a much harder process. I think if I did get asked to do it, I probably would do it in hospital just because it's much more complicated.
So the quicker you get a kidney, the better for you.
Essentially, yeah.
All outcomes are better the quicker it happens.
Yeah, and if it's a living donor, it lasts longer. Okay. So a donor from a deceased person, which I will not say no to, I would not be picky, I'd be delighted for anything, but the average time would be about 10 years, whereas the living donor is a much longer process. Yeah.
So you're putting a call out. So this has happened before on the show. Gillian McNulty put out a call. She said on air, just, and it was the last couple of minutes of the show, I didn't know it was going to happen. You know, anybody out there who wants to give me your kidney.
Yeah.
And as it happened, somebody did. But in the end, she got a kidney from somebody who died.
Right.
So the thing didn't. But somebody had volunteered.
But somebody did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just wondering, you've probably thought about this. I'm sure you've thought about this. Like, is it fair in a way, you know, that No, I know it's a terrible thing to think about, but it is a consideration, isn't it?
It's a huge consideration.
No, it's not. It's not the asking of somebody. It's the fact that if you are equipped to shout louder, you're more likely to get one.
Oh, absolutely.
And is that fair? I wonder.
I don't know the answer to that, but I know that from my point of view, I'm not just shouting loud for myself. I am definitely shouting loud for all donors.
Yes, yeah.
Or for all kidney recipients, or for people on the list.
Yeah.
There are 600 people on the list at the moment, and the average age of those people would be a lot older. They don't have the social media skills that I have. They don't have the PR skills that I have. They don't have the ability to come in and chat to lovely Ray. So I understand.
Who's asked you an awkward question?
Sorry. Oh yeah, no, absolutely. But I completely understand that question,
yeah.
And that's why the likes of like the Irish Kidney Association are screaming from the rafters, and they're a fantastic organisation, and everyone has the ability to join them.
Right. So the 17th of June legislation changed.
Yeah.
So it means now you have to opt out.
Yes.
If you don't opt out, it's taken that you are an organ donor.
For the five major organs. It's your heart, your liver, your pancreas, your kidney, and your lungs.
Yeah.
So it's nothing else, not brain, not eyes, not skin.
And they've been fighting for this for as long as I've been involved with the Irish Kidney Association, which is 30 years. They've been fighting for this.
And it's fantastic. Yeah.
It is.
Well, I know. Callers who are saying it's
there's
not.
There's a caveat, isn't there?
There is
a caveat. Because still, the family have to agree.
They They do have to agree. But
yes.
I think it can be assumed. So if there's a tragedy and you're taken into hospital, and there's no contactable family for the five major, I think it can be assumed. I think that was
no,
part of the legislation.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. No, well, look, I stand corrected.
No,
yeah, absolutely.
It's the family have to. They still have to have the say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and that was always the case with the other system as well. They still have to.
So you have to have the nominated person, is that?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry,
yes.
I just remembered
the
that.
Designated person.
The designated person.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have to be asked by the person, the clinician in charge.
Yeah.
Can we harvest? Isn't that the word they use? Can
I
we
think
harvest
so.
Their
yeah.
organs? And if they say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's why, like, so even that's why I think appealing for living donors from my point of view is. It's kind of a more ethical way in a way to get it because you can have that conversation with the person and you can make sure and they go through the screening
yes.
process in Beaumont Hospital and they can be asked like, are you sure you want to do this?
Yes,
they
because
can make
they have to be psychologically
themselves.
Assessed
yeah,
and all that
yeah,
sort of thing.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned there that you put out the PowerPoint presentation and that two people came forward
two
as a result
did.
Of that.
Yeah, now they have since... backed
okay.
out, which is completely understandable,
yes, yeah.
and I do understand that.
Yeah.
And I have always said, like, when they both people both were women, and they had both heard my story. One was as a kind of a distant friend of a friend, and she had read the PowerPoint presentation, and the other one was connected to me on a social media channel and had seen a couple of things that I'd done and
listened TikTok,
to, and I said to them both. You really need to discuss this with your family. You really need to be sure about this. I'm so grateful. And it's such a weird, it's a weird balance to try and make with someone because I'm creating a friendship, but I also don't want to get too friendly with them because I don't want them to feel pressured. I want them to have the ability to say, do you know what? I have changed my mind. And both of them, it was the first person, she just decided to stop responding to me and I completely understand that. The second girl, she told me she had discussed it with her husband. She still wanted to go forward but he didn't want her to do it. And again, I completely understand that.
You're in a very difficult
situation. It's a tough one.
No,
it
but you,
one.
You are, Valerie, you're in a very difficult situation, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're fighting for survival here.
Yeah.
And you're using every tool you have in your box to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like even if this doesn't get me a kidney, but it gets the conversations going and it gets people discussing it and it gets brings more awareness around
I think that's important.
Yeah,
because
it really is.
People need to have the conversation with their families.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's only 1% of accidents, you know, result in an organ being harvested.
It's a very small percentage,
But still, it saves lives. Yes, it saves lives. But if people don't have that conversation with their families and then somebody arrives into hospital, it's a horrible family tragedy.
It's a nightmare
be.
I can't imagine.
Yes, and people aren't thinking straight. So they've no direction from the person who's died. But if they have the chat, just have the chat whenever. Have it.
Yeah.
Have it. Have the chat.
When you're going for a driver's license or when, you know, when someone turns 18 or a little milestone and you just
have
that
chat. Have the chat. It's important to have it. It's important to have it. So where are you at now then? You're here.
Like I'm still doing dialysis. Doing dialysis every night or five nights a week.
Is this? Do you see this as an appeal or here today or?
Yeah, absolutely. I see it as an appeal for myself and for the 600 other people that are on the kidney waiting list at the moment. I see it as an appeal for the people of Ireland to kind of think about how generous they are.
Yeah.
In every other circumstance, people are so generous, and do your own research. So look into how difficult an operation it is. I cannot say that it is a simple process.
No.
But I can say that the success rates are close to 100%.
It's well documented and public figures have done it. Joe Brawley did it.
Yes.
There wasn't a good outcome there. But Jarlath Regan, comedian, gave
to his brother.
Yeah. So there are, you know,
there
people
are
have talked
documented
about it.
Cases,
people,
yeah.
People have
a friend of my mother's, her daughter a couple of years ago, way before I had a diagnosis, donated to a complete stranger, and everyone was like, God, is she cracked? But actually now I think.
But that's what you're
doing. That's an amazing thing to do.
You want that to happen
yes,
for you.
I do.
Because it's going to have to be a stranger.
It is going to have
it?
To be a stranger, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's an unusual thing. It's an unusual position to be in, but it's where I find myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we wish you luck.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. And you're up on TikTok there, so if people put your name in, Valerie Coyne Dalton.
Yes, that's me.
They can contact you. Valerie, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much, Ray. I really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. Quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.